Would be my joy if you would join me in one of the most common psalms, probably the most well-known psalm in the Psalter, Psalm 23. Psalm 23, you probably all could quote it with me this morning. David, a shepherd himself, with a shepherd's heart that knows everything about it means to tend sheep, helps us turn our eyes towards our Lord in heaven, who's a greater shepherd than even David. And David knows his heart and wants our eyes to be set upon our good shepherd this morning. We read this in Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, you are a good and gracious Father because you would send your one and only Son, the good shepherd for your sheep. The good shepherd to come and lay down his life for his sheep. To secure his sheep. To care for us and to lead us and to be with us and restore us and to cause our cup to overflow with blessing. So, Lord, it's my prayer this morning that you, by your grace and for your glory, Jesus, that you would shepherd your flock this morning. That, Lord, you would speak and that we would know your voice and draw near to your heart and follow you all the days of our lives. Would you help us, we pray, in Jesus' name, amen. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Like, this is probably the most well-known psalm in the whole Psalter. Like, every single person in here, I'm guessing, knows this psalm this morning. It's probably the most quoted psalm. You've probably all heard it at a funeral before. You've maybe heard it probably at every graveside service. If there was a chapter in the Bible that's the most memorized, maybe the most meditated upon, it's probably Psalm 23. Maybe up there with Romans 8, or maybe the Lord's Prayer we know better, but Psalm 23 has to be up there, right? My question this morning, though, is we all know Psalm 23, but my question is not, have you heard Psalm 23? My question is, do you know the Good Shepherd? Do you know the Good Shepherd? Can you sit here this morning and say that you have personally experienced his care? You know intimately his leading, his presence, his love. Can your heart, is the testimony of your heart this morning, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." See, these two phrases are eternally bound together. Like they make an unbreakable rule in the universe. It's stronger than the law of gravity. That is that if the Lord is your shepherd, you shall not want. If the Lord is your shepherd, if you can say the Lord is my shepherd, then you can say I lack absolutely nothing. Like he always has been and he always will be enough for me. This is a grace for every believer here this morning. Like if you're a Christian here today, Jesus, your Savior, is your good shepherd. Like he's not that caring and that loving, and he's not with only those super special Christians in the room today. No, if you know Jesus, then the good shepherd knows you, and he loves you, and he cares for you intimately and deeply. Like, think about the Psalms up to this point. There have been some really beautiful descriptions of who the Lord is. Like, we read earlier that the Lord is, he is king in Psalm 2. And in Psalm 9 and 10, the Lord is king. The Lord is a shield in Psalm 3. The Lord is a refuge in Psalm 7. He is my chosen portion in my cup in Psalm 16. In Psalm 18, we remember the beginning list that David lays out there, that the Lord is my rock and my shield and my fortress and my deliverer. But listen, none is more beautiful, more deeply personal than what we find here in Psalm 23. No description of Jesus is more intimate and more loving and more caring than the fact that he is our good shepherd in Psalm 23. Think about that. The King of Kings is the shepherd of sheep. He is the watcher of your soul, the knower of your heart, who cares deeply for you. Jesus knows you deeply. He cares for you personally. He loves you now, and he will love you forever. And my prayer this morning is that your heart would know that. That you wouldn't just say, I've heard of Psalm 23. Yeah, I've been to a funeral before. But no, you would know from the bottom of your heart that the Lord is your shepherd and you shall not want. Not all of us feel that way this morning. There's people in here that feel alone, that feel helpless, that feel restless. The shepherd doesn't feel near to you. He feels far away. And yet, Psalm 23 is written so that you would draw close to Jesus and he would draw close to you. And so my prayer is that we would walk slowly through these verses and that Jesus would draw you close to him. Impress the realities of Psalm 23 in your heart until your heart says this morning, the Lord is my shepherd, and so I shall not want. The first thing I want us to see is that my shepherd cares for me. I want you to see it. I want you to know it. And my shepherd cares for you. You know, it's really common when you hear Psalm 23 preach. It's really common for pastors to call Christians sheep, to talk about Christians being sheep or the church being a flock. And many pastors love to lay it on thick that sheep are really dumb. Have you heard that before? Sheep are really dumb. And so the inference is, well, and AKA, you all are dumb. Isn't that encouraging? You all are a bunch of idiots. You know, like that's what you hear a lot when people talk about Psalm 23. But listen, the emphasis in Psalm 23 is not about how dumb we are. The emphasis is how dependent we are. It's that we need our good shepherd to give us what none of us can give ourselves. Like, we're needy. And we're weak, and we need our good shepherd to provide food and water so we can live. Like every meal that we have, we need it to be given by our good shepherd. And this means we're restless and we need our good shepherd to give us sleep, to help bring rest and peace to our souls. And that's what it says in verse 2. Listen, it says, he makes us lie down in green pastures. He leads us beside still waters. Now think about this. David's a shepherd, and so David knows exactly what it means for a shepherd to provide and care for his sheep. And so he's saying that the Lord provides lush grass for us to eat and leads us to water for us to drink. He provides for all our physical needs. The only reason you are sustained today is because you have a shepherd. The only reason you're breathing in here this morning is because Jesus has been sustaining you. But the Lord, he's saying, provides so much more. He provides rest for our restless souls. Comfort and peace this morning. Did you hear him? He says, he makes us lie down in green pastures, aka open spaces, aka the most vulnerable places where the wolves can see and the wolves can pursue you. Yet it's the safest of places if you are in the shadow of your shepherd. Under the protection of your shepherd, where you can lie down in green pastures. So our good shepherd is so good that he doesn't just provide everything for our physical bodies to survive. He provides everything for our spiritual souls to thrive in him. Like, I don't need know who needs to hear this today, but busyness is not a fruit of the Spirit. I don't know if you've read Galatians 5 lately, but busyness is not a fruit of the Spirit. Restlessness is not a mark of Christ-likeness. Anxiousness makes no sense in the presence of a shepherd. And all these are just signs. If we have busyness in our heart, if we have restlessness and anxiousness that are holding on to us, it's a sign of our forgetfulness. That our good shepherd wants to lead us beside still waters. Like, do you believe that this morning? That Jesus' desire is to lead you beside still waters, to quiet your heart. Like, Jesus isn't leading you into frantic, chaotic, choppy waters, into a jam-packed, anxious, overburdened calendar. No, the Good Shepherd leads us to peaceful, restful, still waters for your soul. That's his heart for you. Like, Eugene Peterson, he asked this question of his heart. Like, his heart as a pastor, and I often come to this question to ask it of my own heart, and I think it would be good for all of us to ask it of our hearts. He says this, how can I lead people into the quiet place beside still waters if I'm in perpetual motion? That's a good question. How can I lead people into the quiet place beside still waters when I am in perpetual motion? Brothers and sisters, our good shepherd has better for you. Our good shepherd wants to quiet down your restless soul today. Listen, rest is not in a vacation. Rest is not a day off on your calendar. Rest is not an easier workload. It's not a show you can binge watch on Netflix. That'll be rest. No, rest is found in Jesus. Rest is found in a shepherd. He's not promising you a less busy calendar. He's not promising you a less busy home. Don't get out of it. Don't think crazy, moms. But the shepherd is promising you a less busy heart this morning. A less busy heart in him. And we have to believe today that all that is lacking in you is found in its fullness in our good shepherd. He cares for you. He provides for you. Second thing I want us to see is that my shepherd restores me. My shepherd in his grace restores me. One thing that's true of all sheep, which is true of us, is a truth that we sing in the hymn, Come Thou Fount. We're all probably familiar with it. All of us, we're prone to wonder. Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. That's every one of our hearts. Every single one of our hearts. You have to believe that about yourself. Listen, at the public schools, they like to get on their walkie-talkie, sometimes the principal to the teacher, and sometimes they like to say, we have a runner. That means somebody's escaped the building and they're going down we have a runner, right? Listen, that's all of our hearts. We all in our hearts want to run from his care, from his love. But the good news is that the good shepherd is a pursuer. He's prone to pursue those he loves. Even those that chase other lovers, even those who would chase after empty sins that would never satisfy them like him. Listen, Jesus loves to leave the 99 to find the one. Like, it's not a hassle to him. It's not inconvenient for his schedule. No, it's what he loves to do. It's what he loves to do. It's his nature. And not just to bring us back, but to bring us all the way back. That means he loves to restore us in the innermost parts of our hearts, that our hearts might love him and cling to him. So first of all, we must be honest that a lot of our hearts probably feel broken down today. Our idols have broken down our hearts. Some of us have indwelling sin that we've been clinging to that has left our hearts a wreck. And our hearts have grown cold to Jesus and his care. But let this comfort you. Let Psalm 23 comfort you this morning, because your good shepherd knows exactly what your soul needs to restore you. Like, lean in to the heart of the shepherd, because your good shepherd knows your name. And he knows every hair on your head. And he joyfully will leave the 99 to rescue you. I know when you think of you, you don't think of you as someone that Jesus would want to leave what he has to pursue you, but that's exactly who you are, and that's exactly his heart. Like, when you're dry, the good shepherd knows how to give you a fresh glimpse of his grace for your thirsty soul. Like, when you're hurting, the good shepherd, maybe you've experienced this, the good shepherd knows the right words spoken from a sister that you need in that moment. Or the right text from a brother that you need when your soul is hurting from a brother. Or when your heart is broken, the good shepherd knows the Bible verse that you need for your heart to be healed by him. Like, think about this. The good shepherd knows that some of you need to hear Psalm 23 and be drawn to his heart this morning. And that's why you're here. The good shepherd knows exactly what you need right now, and he wants to give it to you. Listen to Psalm 85:6. Psalm 85:6 has this question And the psalmist says this, will you not revive us again? Will you not revive us again that your people may rejoice in you? He's crying out from the bottom of his heart in his dryness, in his brokenness, in his cold heart. And he says, will you not revive us again, Lord, that your people may rejoice in you? And if we could hear heaven right now, it's ringing out. I will revive you. I will restore you again and again and again that you might rejoice in me. Let me just say this, that oftentimes the green pastures, the still waters that the Lord wants to restore you in, that he wants to restore your soul is with the people of God gathered in the church like this. Gathered with God's people. Listen, there's no rest apart from Jesus. And there's no rest away from his church. I remember I was talking to a family a while back, and this couple was saying that they're often gone because they're busy all week long, but they need to be home to rest on Sundays. That's kind of when they catch up to rest. And my encouragement to them is that you're good shepherd knows better than you. And he knows that you will get more rest by being with God's people than you will sitting at home, watching TV, sitting on the back porch. That Jesus has more rest when we gather together for his people. This is the still waters. This is where he quiets our soul week in and week out. Maybe this morning you feel broken down. You feel dry. You feel thirsty. You feel hurting. You're like you're hurting. Maybe you're here this morning so the good shepherd can convince you through Psalm 23 that he doesn't want to leave you that way. I don't want to leave you that way. The Lord is pursuing you. He wants to revive you, restore you, so you can sing again. Third thing we see is that my shepherd leads me. My shepherd leads me. You know, we all probably have a couple false views or negative views of how we think the Lord shepherds us. The first wrong view might be that we see our shepherd, we see him as kind of forceful. Too forceful. We picture our shepherd as prodding his sheep, as taking out the staff and poking his sheep, as pushing the sheep from behind, trying to get them to go where they don't want to go. We picture God maybe as heavy-handed. Always making his sheep do what they don't want to do. Maybe you see your shepherd like that, that his commands are burdensome, and everything he commands me to do, he just wants to make me miserable. That's a false view of our good shepherd. But another false view, another way that your heart can feel right now is that the shepherd is absent from you. That he's far away. Maybe you feel like the shepherd deserts his sheep. He's not present with his sheep. He's left his flock to be by themselves. And we might feel like the shepherd one day, you know, he's going to return at any moment and he's going to be pretty disappointed with his sheep. He's going to be pretty disappointed or frustrated by what we have done or what we haven't done. This is not our good shepherd. Listen to verse 3. Listen to our good shepherd. It says, he leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He leads me in paths of righteousness for His namesake. So let's get our good shepherd in our minds. The truth is that our good shepherd doesn't push us from behind. Our good shepherd doesn't leave us alone to try to do it on our own. No, our good shepherd leads us lovingly and graciously from the front. He walks the path of righteousness before us, and he invites us to follow him into his righteousness. Into his righteousness. So Jesus says it this way in John chapter 10. Jesus says it this way: my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. My sheep hear my voice. When the Bible's opened up, they hear my voice spoken, and they know me, and they follow me. That's what I pray every Sunday for Christ Fellowship. Lord, help your people hear your voice and help them follow you. It's a good prayer for our church. Lord, help us hear your voice and help us follow you. What a gift when we think about the heart of our good shepherd, that he always leads me into the paths that are most pleasing to him. He always leads me in the paths that most are pleasing to him. So following Jesus always leads me in the ways that bring him the most glory and me the most joy. So what's the hesitation with obedience? Like, what's the hesitation for following Jesus when every single step I take brings me the most joy and Jesus the most glory? Why would we not follow our shepherd when he leads us into paths of righteousness for his namesake? Fourth, it says that my shepherd will be with me. My shepherd will be with me. Now, this is a hard pill to swallow sometimes for some of us, because we must see and we must trust that the Lord that leads us beside still waters is the same Lord who leads us in the valley of the shadow of death. Like, the shepherd is sovereign over every valley we walk through. So whatever suffering you're facing today, whatever difficulty you're walking through, the Lord has not fallen asleep when we start walking through the valley and we just need him to wake up to get us out of this. The Lord has not left us alone either. He has not left us to face our hardest days all by ourselves. That's not what Psalm 23 says. Notice Psalm 23 doesn't say, look at your Bibles. It doesn't say, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For I know my shepherd will be waiting for me on the other side. That's how we often feel, right, in suffering. That he has left me all alone. That he has forgotten me. But the comfort for every sheep is that the Lord is with us. That the good shepherd promise us his presence. He will protect us. His rod and his staff will comfort us on our worst days, in our darkest moments. That's what it says. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For you are with me. The believer is never alone. You've never met a Christian who is alone. The only thing that can overwhelm a heart filled with fear is the presence of the shepherd. Do you feel fearful today? Do you feel alone today? Do you feel anxious? The only thing that can overwhelm your fearful, anxious heart is that the Lord is with you. It's the reason why Jesus wakes up in the boat, in the storm, and he's just puzzled and says, why are you afraid? Why does Jesus ask, why are you afraid? It's not because the storm's not big. It's because he is in the boat. Brothers and sisters, the Good Shepherd is going to be with you in the worst possible moment. The Good Shepherd will be with you when you come to die. No Christian in here will ever face death alone. That's what we see promised here. Jesus is fully prepared to walk through death with you. And he's the only one equipped to do it. Why? Because the Good Shepherd walked through the valley before you alone so he could walk through the valley with you when your day comes. So be comforted, even in the face of death, that you will not be alone. Listen to what David Pallison says. For those who know Jesus, death doesn't have the last say. It has the next to last say. No, the last word for the Christian is the resurrection. The last word is life. The last word is mercy. The last word is that our Savior, our Shepherd, will take us to be with him forever. Even in the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you will be with me. But the Lord will be with you when you come to the end of this life, when you come to die. But listen, this is not the only loss we face as Christians. This is not the only valley that we will walk through. We'll have a lot of valleys. We'll have a lot of losses. There will be a ton of losses even for the Christian. And Psalm 23 is saying, whatever loss you face, loss of strength, loss of health, loss of a job, loss of loved ones, loss of relationships, loss of usefulness, loss of purpose, whatever loss you face, he promises his presence in every single one. Jesus' presence in every valley. For you are with me. That's what Psalm 23 promises to you. Finally, my shepherd will bless me. My shepherd will bless me. Here in verse 5 and 6, the imagery changes slightly because the imagery changes from a shepherd caring for his sheep to a friend inviting his friends to the table. And as you're reading this, the invitation is not for like a one-time guest. He's not like saying, hey, you should come over Wednesday night for dinner. And we can tell everybody later, hey, you'll never believe where I ate the other night, who I ate with. No, the invitation here is to come and to live with the shepherd. It's to come, and we are invited to live in his presence forever. Like when we read verses 5 and 6, these aren't just words for David. You need to read this psalm and these verses for you. So listen, I'm about to read two verses that are about you and your shepherd and what he does for you. You prepare before me. You prepare a table before me. In the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's your life. That's what the shepherd does for you. It's unbelievable. Unimaginable blessings that we have because of Jesus. Like he says that the shepherd is going to bless me with a victory feast in the presence of my enemies. Like where my greatest enemies cannot touch me, where sin and death can't get near me any longer. He's preparing a presence, a victory feast for me. He says the shepherd blesses me by anointing me. Jesus is showering us with undeserved favor. Like, are you grasping that that is your reality in Jesus? With undeserved favor, that he causes my cup not to have a drop in it, but to overflow. He doesn't just make sure I have what I need, that I'm not lacking anything. No, it says that he makes sure that I'm overflowing in abundance. That's unbelievable blessings in Jesus. And they're daily blessings. Did you see that? It's not just unbelievable. They're given to you daily. It says, surely goodness and mercy. Surely God's goodness towards me, his steadfast love will be following me, not some of the days of my life, not most of the days of my life, but what does it say? All the days of my life, every day when I open my eyes, surely goodness and mercy will follow me. Every day of my life, every second marked by the steadfast love of the Lord for me. His covenant care, his covenant commitment towards me, his sheep. Every moment of my life is filled with the Good Shepherd's goodness flowing towards me with no shut-off valve. And not only are they unbelievable and daily, but they're eternal. Look at the last phrase. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord. What's the last word? Forever. Forevermore. Let that word forever hang over your life today. There will be no end to the goodness of Jesus. There'll be no expiration date to his mercy for you. Like, you know, Lamentations 3 says that his mercy is new every morning. That's not going to stop when your life ends here. No, for all eternity, his mercy will be new every morning. His goodness will be good for you. There is a Niagara Falls of spiritual blessings flowing from the heart of the Good Shepherd for you forever. And this morning, my question is, do you know this? Like, do you know the Good Shepherd? Do you know his care for you? Do you know his restoring grace? Do you know his leading, his presence, his steadfast love that endures forever? Not do you know about it, but do you know it? Can your heart say this morning, the Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing? I mean, is there any hesitation in your heart to believe the heart of your shepherd? If there is any hesitation at all, even a little bit of hesitation, I want us to think about one verse in John 11. Listen to the heart of your good shepherd. In John 10, 11, he says this, I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Just think about the gospel. Just meditate on the good shepherd's love for you right now, his sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I lay down my life for my sheep that I love. Think about that. Before you were even born, Jesus died for you. Before you couldn't even care less about him, Jesus cared for you. Before you even knew you were broken, Jesus made a way to restore you. Before you wandered away from the flock, Jesus laid down his life to bring you back. Before you ever walked through the valley of the shadow of death, Jesus walked it ahead of you and for you. Before you knew you were needy, Jesus laid down his life to meet your every need. Before your heart was empty, Jesus went to the cross to make your cup overflow. Before you had even sinned, Jesus paid for every sin so that you could be forgiven and with him forever. The good shepherd laid down his life for his sheep so you could look upon the shepherd this morning and say, this Jesus, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. It's not always easy, is it? There's days we feel broken. There's days we feel alone. So what does this look like? How do you draw close to your good shepherd even when it's hard? I got a text the other day from a friend. A text for him, and this is what it looks like when your heart feels far from the shepherd and what we can do. It says this: I just sat down at the table for lunch with my family and worshiped. We sang the goodness of Jesus. Right now, I'm not content. I'm not content with a farming issue. I want more. I want another tractor, and to some degree, we need another tractor. But God is very clearly saying now is not the time. I'm thankful for that, but I'm still restless, and I'm still searching. Singing this song at this time melted away that desire for something other than Jesus and placed him right where he needed to be, the center. The focal point. He is all I need. That's a heart that knows what it feels like for the shepherd to be far away at times, but at the same time, knows the gospel reality, knows how to turn his head towards the shepherd to say, again, the Lord is my shepherd, and if he is my shepherd, I shall not want. Let's pray together. Lord, we ask that you would help all our hearts know this truth and rest in this truth. Know this shepherd and rest in this good shepherd. Lord, for every believer here this morning, Lord, would you turn their hearts to Jesus that they might look upon their good, good shepherd. Who doesn't just care for them, who doesn't just lead them and restore them and is with them, but who laid down his life that we might be forgiven of our sins and that we might live with him forever. Lord, if there's anybody here that does not know Jesus, doesn't know this good shepherd who laid down his life for their sins, that they may be forgiven and have life in him and with him forever, Lord, would you draw their hearts to yourself? Would you draw their hearts to the heart of the good shepherd who loves them? Lord, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.